This is Calicuria, and these are my reader's notes for my podfic of All the Stars, which was written by Mannequin Tent and read by me. So I have a few things to say about this podfic. There's been some meta recently about a wish that people have had for readers of long podfics to talk a little bit about the choices they made and the process, and I thought that this podfic in particular would be an interesting one to do that for, because I did make a number of very deliberate choices for this story, and I guess I was gonna talk a little bit about the process of making the story, and then a little bit about why I decided to podfic the story and why I decided that I should podfic the story. First of all, Mannequin Tent wrote and posted this story pretty much as soon as the Black Panther movie came out, which was in spring of 2018. I am now in spring of 2019 recording this. I have the completed podfic on my computer. I just need to finish fussing with the audio levels and export it. But I wanted to make a note that the story a few times references the previous American president, and from where we're standing right now, the previous president is Barack Obama. That's going to be a thing that changes as we move through time, and I wouldn't want that to get lost or confused, because that's fairly important to a few details in the story. Pronunciations of people's names. This podfic has been a work in progress for a year now, and about 60% of that is because after I had recorded the entire story, when I first started, I'd drawn up pronunciation guides for all the names, and that we don't get sort of in the primary source of the movie, and some of them have examples that you can find readily available, like Ngozi, and some of them don't, like M'Baku's cousin, Seathna, which is the pronunciation I eventually went with, as you can hear in the podfic. But when I started, there wasn't a pronunciation guide, or at least I couldn't find one. Once I finished my first round of editing, I found a pronunciation guide, and the guide said Seathna, and I hadn't been particularly happy with the pronunciation I had originally settled on, which was Hathna, with a click. And, you know, I wanted to do this right, so I re-recorded pretty much. So I did some complicated stuff with highlighting in the text and whatever, and you know, found the scenes where Seathna is a really prominent figure and just re-recorded those whole hog. There are a few scenes where her name comes up sort of once or twice, and I ended up doing some really careful splicing for those. This is something I do for fun, I'm sorry, I ultimately decided that having that weird splice, I kind of got to the point where I needed to either keep on going, or I just, the whole thing wasn't going to get done. So that's why that's there. But I did a lot of research. But the point is that that was a thing that delayed everything a lot. But I wanted to do right by this story. So, you know, I re-recorded it. And I'm quite happy with how that came out, in the end. Let's see, some of the other names, Hibiza and, Coco Cali, which is the, Hibiza is one of the guards. She comes up a bunch in, that, oh God, that scene where they're interrogating the Jabari prisoners. Speaking of which, that was a really hard scene to do because doing the prisoners were just really, it's hard to sort of do that weird dreamlike voice. And it partly, I mean, I'll be honest, my readings in general tend to be a little more, I've been told my voice is very calming, I guess, but that does, I do tend towards sort of a calmer reading generally, so making it more dreamlike without sort of the visual cues that someone is sort of not quite with you in that moment, that was a little harder to convey, and I'm not entirely sure it worked. But yeah, so that was a tough one. Shuri also was a little bit tough to do. Like I said, partly because my reading overall tends to be a little bit slower, so the way I tend to do characters like her is that I speed up and my voice gets a lot louder, and that creates a lot of issues on the editing side, because I have to go back in later and just make her sections quieter, which, it, you know, is just a thing that happens. But yeah, that also slowed things down. One of the other sort of editorial decisions I made is what was not to give Shuri or anyone else who talks via the beads, sort of the long distance communication, to not give them any sound effect. There's not a lot of distortion in the voices when they talk over the Kamoya beads, but that's partly because you don't need it because you have the visual to show you what's going on, and that it is a long distance communication. Usually when I'm doing something like that in a podfic, I'll put in a little bit of distortion to show you that's what's happening. It's usually a telephone effect. You cut out certain parts of the frequencies, and that sort of gives you a slightly lower frequency range. Just not lower in terms of like the frequencies are lower, but a narrower range of them. And I decided not to do that for this story because I actually wanted it to be really light on the sound effects, and not have kind of those technological artifacts coming in a lot. I tend to use those a lot in, you use them a lot, or I use them a lot in MC fix, because, you know, you get a lot of, like, people talking over the phone, or people talking in flashback, or, you know, Tony Iron Man, like, talking through the mask, but that's a lot about sort of a very specific, you know, Western kind of technology, and a lot of what Black Panther is doing is establishing a different kind of technology. And I didn't want the technology to intrude in the same way. The one exception to the sound effect is that I'm sure you noticed because it's so creepy deliberately, was the voice of the forest. And right in at the end. And that's not a technological effect. That's actually achieved by me sitting a lot closer to the microphone. And that, you know, changes the vocal quality. And if if I were reading like that the whole time, it wouldn't register particularly. But because suddenly the voice is so much closer, even when I'm listening to my own voice doing it and I know it's coming and it's my voice, I find it incredibly creepy. And it's like this voice is coming in like right behind your shoulder. And it's hard to say of my own work that it was effective, but I thought it was effective. It's a very intimate effect. If you're listening, I'd be curious to know if it worked for you. Obviously, I thought it was effective, but if people have feedback, I would love to hear it. So that's that. And I guess the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, I guess, a little bit of the elephant in the room, which is that Black Panther is a movie that is very important to a lot of people, and especially or at least a lot of the stuff that I saw about it, a lot of the people that I talked to about it, it was very important to the African American community here in the United States. I'm a white American. And that means from a logistical level that my accent is mid-Atlantic, and I'm very bad at putting on accents. There's some early podfic of mine with a Russian accent for original TV Man from U.N.C.L.E., and my accent isn't any worse than David McCallum's, but God knows it's not any better. So I wouldn't have dreamed of doing an accent anyway, but the accents and a lot of the way things were said was very important in that story and in that movie, and that's not a thing that I am able to replicate. Same thing for the pronunciations. As I talked about a bit before, I did my best, but, you know, as someone who doesn't speak Hausa, who only speaks English, North American English, and European languages, there are certain phonemes that I am not very practiced in using, and so I'm just not going to be very good at them. And I spent a lot of time and talked to a lot of people about whether, sort of a two-part question of whether it was all right for me to be engaging with this story, whether it was all right to podfic this story as a white American who couldn't do full justice to certain aspects of the story, and also whether I was, to a certain extent, the right person to do this story. And the answer to the second one is I'm not. If this was a movie where we only had, the Universal Global, we only had one shot at this and we had to get the best person for it, I would not be that person. And I would do my best to support whoever was and whoever was confident in that, and whoever other people with a greater understanding of a lot of the issues at play, whoever they thought was the right person. At the same time, that's not the setup we have. There can be more than one podfic of a story. That if you're not familiar with podfic fandom, those are called repods. And you know, podfic fandom for a while felt very negatively or very complicatedly about sort of the idea of podficking a story that someone else had already podficked. I personally have always fallen down very hard on the side that more podfics of a story are good, that more readers reading a story, each one brings something different and something new and something important to that story, and that especially within fandom, which is a culture that is about transformative works, that it's not appropriate, it's not useful, and it's not okay to, in my opinion, to say that there can only be one version of something. So if someone else wants to podfic this story, they have my full blessing. They have my encouragement. They have my exhortation to please podfic the story. Ask manic intent first. Always ask for permission to podfic a story. Because that's good manners and living in a community. But you have my, as a podficker's, you have my permission to please make another version of the story. There can never be too many podfics of anything, especially for something like this, where my version is flawed. This is the best that I can do. I think I did a good job as much as I can. But there can be more, and I would love for there to be more. Especially when there's only so much that I can bring, and when this is a, when Black Panther has meant so much to so many people, and there's an extent to which, you know, I as a white person, this story was not, I was not the intended audience, and that's okay. That is very much okay. And if someone feels a connection to this story and wants to podfic it, wants to do something with it, you have my encouragement to do that. Oh, wow, I got really emotional about that. But this was a really complicated question that I spent a lot of time thinking about. And as I said, you can tell by the fact that I have released this into the world that I decided, I thought that having even an imperfect podfic by a white girl was better than none. Was something, and that my hope is that the more people engage with this fandom, with characters of color, there will be more content, and that therefore even, you know, this complicated, flawed thing that I love and I am proud of is better than not having it, I guess. So these are my feelings. If you want to talk about them, I'm happy to talk about them. I'm Calicuria on Dreamwidth and on Twitter. I'm Podficker by Night on Tumblr. I haven't been there a whole lot recently, but will again. I haven't been there a lot recently because I've been editing, and it's hard to be on Tumblr when editing Podfic. At least for me, when I'm doing sort of the second round of editing, which is what I've been doing. Yeah. Thanks for listening.